Oh look, it's a Thunderbird. That must mean International Rescue is here to save us. So by my calculations, that means everything's going to be FAB on this episode of that song from that movie. Five, four, three, two, one.
Thunderbirds are go.
With a question mark.
Thunderbirds are go.
Better. Thank you for joining the 97th episode of That Song From That Movie, the journey through the very best and worst of movie songs. I am your struggling for some decent quotes host, Dietrich. And joining us is the man who followed the Blue Peter guide on how to make his own Tracy Island out of loo rolls, Alex.
That must have been a Blue Peter episode from before we were born, surely.
I'm pretty sure they were still doing it until maybe like 2012.
I think we covered one of the Christmas episodes when the Tracy Island was the number one toy, but I can't remember what year it was.
Still never got it.
Yeah, me neither. Didn't even try and make one. Didn't have enough loo rolls.
Didn't have enough loo rolls.
I was promised one and never got it.
Is it like that fairy liquid advert with the rocket, but it never runs out?
See, you're taking ages.
It used to frustrate me, though, just always the, you know, it'd go on things like Art Attack, they'd go through like the first three steps together and then say, and now here's one we did earlier. And you're like, what? I can't pause TV. It's 1996.
Anyway, and completing the lineup is a man with a big, warm heart, Ben.
Yes. That heart is ticking. It's often counting down.
I would like to know, in the past fortnight, what have you been watching?
Thunderbirds.
Go on, Al.
I've been watching two films.
One You've of which been watching discuss. Sounds like you're still in the process. Like they're all in the background while we record.
So it's the film Rye Lane. I don't know if we've discussed that film on this
Rye
before.
Rye Lane.
Nope.
Yeah, it's a rom-com. It is on Disney Plus for anyone who wants to watch it. But I would very much recommend it. It's very good. Okay. You know, it's got everything you would expect in a rom-com, but it's stylistically it feels very fresh. It really changes up the format a little bit, and it's very contemporary. It's a contemporary rom-com. I would definitely recommend. And crucially above all else, it does live up to the com. Of the rom-com.
Does it pass the six laugh test?
Yes. Unlike so many other rom-coms, which may as well just be called roms. And I also did watch After Sun, but we should not discuss it because I think we're going to cover it in a later episode. Ben's been nagging us for a long time
to watch
it.
It's got a song.
It's got a song, yeah. It's got a few songs, actually. But one more prominent than the others. But yeah, so I won't spoil my take on it.
Did you like it?
That will be ruining the future episode.
God damn it, Alex!
Let's just say I felt very affected by it after watching.
Good. That's all I needed. Because if it was excitement, then you need to be sectioned.
It was not excitement.
It was sheer thrills and ecstasy. You saw the wrong film. God. I've had my fill of Kwisatz Haderach and Lisan Zsár Gáib and stocked up on the Bene Gesserits, and I saw Dune 2. I am all Duned up. I am all Duned out.
I really enjoyed Dune 1.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing Dune 2.
I don't know if I enjoy Dune 1. There was the process of it.
It's an experience.
It's a film that I loved it in the cinema, and I've never watched it again. And I loved this one in the cinema, and I probably will never watch it again.
Yeah.
I'll say my ears were ringing. There's a lot of, I don't know if it was started by Inception or it came out, but a lot of the whomp kind of sounds. I saw it in IMAX and my heart was just hurting. My very large heart was going off a lot in the cinema.
Yeah, the D stood for Dune.
The D stood for Dunes. Double Dunes. My big old double Dunes. D, what have you seen?
So I have two things to talk about this week.
Are they films?
Well, one movie and one TV show.
Okay.
But I can actually use the same review for both. Here we go. Whilst I think visually the reimagining works, the problem I have with it is it didn't really do enough to justify its own existence. When it's doing something new, I enjoyed it. And when it was retelling something I'd seen before, it just made me want to watch the original again. So I think the question is, I'm not sure who this was for. Like, was it supposed to be a love letter to the original for existing fans like us? Or was it an attempt to find a new audience? Did you want to guess what it is?
Gladiators.
No, but I have been watching the new series of Gladiators. It's pretty good. No wolf. There's no wolf proxy, though.
A reimagining. I don't know. Is it some like The Little Mermaid?
No.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the TV show.
No, I've heard decent things about that, though.
Yeah, good things, apparently.
The TV show was the Avatar The Lost Airbender.
Oh, I should have known. Should have known.
Should have guessed.
And the movie, I went to the cinema to see Mean Girls, the musical.
Oh, right.
Both okay, perfectly yes. fine. But like I said, both not as good as the original.
I'm too scared to do Airbender. Too scared.
Yeah, and when you say the original Last Airbender, I assume you mean the film, D.
I do mean the M. Night Shyamalan.
M. Night Shyamalan.
It's definitely better than that.
Is there a song in that?
If there is, we're not covering it.
What song could there have been in that film?
I don't know.
What's an a bending song?
Breathe by Blue Control.
Flying Without Wings.
Breathe. Could have been. Yeah.
Waterfalls by TLC. I don't know.
Waterfalls by just saying elemental-based songs. Elemental-based
songs. Relight My Fire.
Yeah, Relight My Fire. Like, yeah.
But both fine. Mean Girls is better than Avatar. I don't know if that means anything. I mean, I don't really know what scale that would be.
Spectrum, yeah.
Yeah. The songs in Mean Girl were good.
Would you say they were fetch?
You left the South Side for this.
He doesn't say that line.
We went for
different bits.
That's the best line. We went for different jokes, but it's nice to know that at least all those lines live rent-free.
I'm sure Fetch got a mention, surely.
Must have been a Fetch mention. Yeah. Fetch has to be a big mention.
They tried to make Fetch happen, and you can't make Fetch happen.
No, just can't. We've been trying for years.
So today we are suffering the movie, so we can talk about the song. It's Thunderbirds I Go by Busted from the live-action adaptation of Jerry and Sylvia Anderson's marionette TV show Thunderbirds. So to find out what was happening in the world when the movie came out.
Time for some history.
And it's me this week doing it, which is a surprise to everybody, I'm sure. So I'm taking you back to July 2004. There was sadness in the Alex household as, and I'm not quite sure why this was listed as a notable event on Wikipedia, but CITV broadcasted Rosie and Jim for the final time. A claim I do not believe whatsoever.
I mean, to be fair, it doesn't seem
and I don't mean like new episodes, I mean repeats.
Yeah, maybe. I feel like I've never seen it on TV again. But I mean, I think I only ever watched the same like three episodes on the one VHS that we had anyway.
Seems to be big on the TikTok world at the moment.
Rosie and Jim?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I think it's like the, what's that? It's like, I think Nanaland thing has started a craze of making adult references based on kids' TV shows.
I've definitely seen clips from Rosie and Jim on scrolling Instagram and stuff like that.
Yeah, during my doom scrolling hour every morning.
Rosie and Jim scrolling. Either of you want to give us a rendition of the theme song?
Rosie and Jim. Something in Jim. Something Ragdolls.
Yeah, okay, we'll take that.
Did Busted cover it?
If they did, it'd probably be pretty good, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it would not make it in America.
No. In less important news than Rosie and Jim, there was an unlikely name engraved on the UEFA European Championship trophy as Greece majestically shithoused their way to glory with a beautiful 1-0 win in the final over Portugal.
Memories.
Just an outstanding tournament-wide performance of shithousery. Probably should have had every player sent off by the time the tournament came to an end, but still, post-millennium, they've won more than England's men ever have done.
And that started a continuous uplift in Greece's fortunes over the next 20 years.
They're going to peak right around 2030. And it was a barnstorming month at the cinema. So maybe one of the best of all time? We'll find out. So much like we did last time, we'll do quick out of 10 scores.
Go.
Ready?
Go.
Cinderella Story.
Never seen it. Is that Hilary Duff?
5.
Yeah, it is Hilary Duff, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can't give a score. I've never seen it.
You have to give a score, Alex.
10.
Oh, thank you. Okay. I, Robot.
Okay, 6.5.
6.
Okay. The Bourne Supremacy?
Oh, 9.
I was going to say more like 7.5.
Catwoman.
Ooh, just for the basketball scene alone, 10.
The Manchurian Candidate.
The remake, I guess it would be the remake.
Yeah, I presume. I guess I didn't check that.
it's an alright film, that it's like 5. It's no Catwoman.
6.
Likes basketball scenes.
Talking of basketball scenes, The Village.
I don't think I've ever watched it after realising that the twist is that he was dead the whole time.
It's once you know the twist, it's pointless watching it. And I knew the twist before I'd watched it.
I think I knew the twist from Scary Movie 2.
Yes, well, yeah.
No, it's Scary Movie 3.
Scary Movie 3 actually. Is, yeah. But
yeah.
Scary Movie 4.
It might be Scary Movie 4, actually. Scary Movie 3 is the sign.
It's one of them.
Okay, and finally, before we talk about the film we're talking about today, Harold and Kumar get the munchies, brackets, go to White Castle if you're in America.
Nah, that's a great film. That's a great film.
It's at least a 12.
At least 12, yeah.
All the way up to 11.
And rounding out this golden month of movies, Thunderbirds.
This golden month.
So Thunderbirds is a 2004 live-action remake of the classic British puppet show, marionette, whatever, who cares, of the same name. It's directed by Jonathan Frakes, as in Commander Riker from Star Trek The Next Generation, and stars Bill Paxton as the patriarch of the Tracy family, who run International Rescue, a life-saving organization equipped with technologically advanced land, sea, air, and space rescue crafts, referred to as, everybody, the Thunderbirds.
International Rescue.
Yeah. I mean, I might as well take this opportunity. Yes, I know the vehicles are called the Thunderbirds,
yep.
But International Rescue is a crap name. I don't want to call them that.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't really fit, does it? International Rescue Argo.
I mean, at least FAB works.
FAB.
Now, the movie itself revolves around the dastardly evil The Hood, who wants to steal the Thunderbirds,
and has
devised
a
wickedly detailed plan of trapping the Tracy family in space. And it's up to the youngest, dumbass Tracy brother, Alan, to save the day. Okay, so I know you two are chomping a bit to tear this apart, so why don't you just tell us what you think of this one, and if you have any history with the franchise as a whole, maybe include that to make it sound a bit nicer.
I mean, I don't know if it's crazy to say that. I actually enjoyed this film.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Why can we never all agree?
Right, I watched it for the first time earlier, and it was good. I thought it was pretty good. Like, I was like...
Oh, my God.
It's like... Right, okay, it's not as good. So my base of reference was it was a bit like Spy Kids, but not quite as good. But, I mean, you know, you're putting Spy Kids at the top echelons of film.
They're definitely going for a Spy Kids vibe.
Yeah, because of how good Spy Kids was. Everyone was going for Spy Kids.
Yeah.
But Spy Kids is an unhinged camp.
Yeah, goofy camp, but just fun. I mean, right, first of all, shout out to the CGI team, because you guys cannot even disagree with this. The CGI in this film...
Some bits are all right. Some bits are all right.
I think the CGI in this film is top tier for 2004. Top tier.
Yeah, the vehicles look immense.
The vehicles look amazing.
I was genuinely shocked by how good the special effects were. I mean, you're probably going to come on to what the budget was, but the budget must have been massive for this film. Unless I'm just like completely miscalculating this. But
we will come on to it.
The effects were so good. I even before I watched it, was planning to make a joke about the acting being more wooden than the puppet counterparts.
Every single critic at the time,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
but
100%.
But I found most of the performances pretty endearing, I'll be honest.
Even the guy with a terrible stutter.
You mean Goose from Top Gun? Yes.
Oh, is it Goose?
Yes, it is Goose from Top Gun. Okay. The only person I think who was guilty of phoning in was Bill Paxton. I think we can all agree on that. I don't know what he's doing there. He doesn't know what he's doing there. He's like, he's been in space films before. I think that is literally the only reason he's there.
What about Sir... I'll give him that, Sir Ben Kingsley.
I am going to come on to Sir Ben Kingsley. First, I wanted to give a shout out to Vanessa Hudgens. Why is she in this film?
Give a shout out to someone. Why are you here?
For anyone who's a big fan of British TV and specifically the channel Alibi, Nicola Walker. Don't know what she was doing there in this film, calling her son a panhead for 2 seconds in one scene, but she was there. And yeah, let's talk about Ben Kingsley, Sir Ben Kingsley. The noughties were a weird time for him, weren't they?
Yeah.
He was in Sexy Beast, obviously, which is amazing. And then he was in this. And then he was in Blood Rain.
Oh, that's what I mean. This is just before Blood Rain. So he was clearly, he had some debts. Has he just been divorced?
It's like, this is a man who was in the RSC and won an Oscar for playing Gandhi.
Yeah, he
and here he is. Here he is in this film, giving one of the strangest performances that any actor has ever given. But yeah, you know, I expected to hate it, but I actually didn't. And I thought it was stupid, but it was enjoyable. I felt like when I was watching that first scene where he was in school, I was like, this is going to be insufferably bad.
That scene makes no sense as well.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Most of the film is still makes sense.
They introduce like a character at the school who you feel is like is going to be his rival that never reappears in the film. But I think after that, it just got better and better. And more engrossing.
We need the Panama documents to be released. Who's funding International Rescue? Where are they getting their money? No backup?
One of his favourite parts was the line where he was like, ah, of course, it was the billionaire astronaut was ready them all along.
The only potential backup they have is his son.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But it's like, but what happens like when they're not of it? Like, how many world disasters were just happening on that day?
It's like, oh crap. Only these five people can pilot these absolutely ridiculous machines.
Out of commission all the time in space.
Yeah, one of them just lives in space by himself. He must be insane.
One of them always has to stay at home because it's like, oh, is this one on land? Right, I guess I'm not needed.
Thunderbird 4 is just like, I'm out, guys. I'm out. I like the idea that the Thunderbird 4 has to always go, though. He has to go in Thunderbird 2 and just wait.
Sit there.
Are we going to the water, guys? A monorail's been knocked down, but where? It's over the... It's over the tip. Yes! I'm in. Oh, no, sorry, not this time. You're dying in space.
Like three quarters of the way through the film, they introduce all these like natural disasters happening across the world that were never resolved. It's just like, oh, yeah, there's an earthquake in somewhere. There's a monsoon, like a typhoon in Thailand. And it's like, but
where
no one
are
ever.
The Thunderbirds?
No one ever helps.
I also like the backstory of the Hood hates him because he didn't rescue him. He saved his brother and he also survived still.
That's a very good point.
And that's enough for him to want to destroy them all. He still survived and he saved his brother's life.
He's like, I can't believe you didn't rescue me from like the blood diamond mine I was running in the Congo or whatever it is. It's like, well, why would you expect that?
Oh, by the way, I have psychic powers.
Oh yeah, and I also have psychic powers, which is completely unexpected.
And my niece is called Tintin. Fucking hell.
Great film.
I'm assuming you like this film then, Ben.
No. The tech side of it, I think, is actually fairly well designed. And that's, I guess, if anyone liked the Anderson shows, actually, Stingray, Captain Scarlet.
Captain Scarlet.
You liked it kind of for the tech or the
Joe
futuristic 90. Sci-fi. Yeah, Joe 90. And, like, you watch Thunderbirds for the Thunderbirds.
Yeah.
And so...
I could barely tell you a single plot about those episodes, but I've seen all of them.
Absolutely, yeah. There's something in the film. I think they do design them well, and I think the tech, there is a lot of tech and a lot of different machinery, and I think they design it well. Well, the story's naff. Most of the performances are hilarious. I don't know why certain small things annoy me that are like tropes. There's a thing when the kids are on the beach and they say, we need to go into the vents.
Yeah.
The vents are always human size in films, at least. And when they go to run anywhere, they all slightly jump in the air first and then run.
Like how a puppet would move.
Like have like a big sort of oomph before you set off.
Is that not how you run?
Put your hands in, shake them up, and then move. Also the classic slightly young, scrawny, pasty boy that has to be a genius. I always love that one.
Yeah.
The Hood stuff, I find it hilarious. I don't know why, because it maybe is Ben Kingsley. Also, some reason, I don't know if it's like a technique, they seem to always show him on the tilt. Like the camera is always on the tilt
there
with him, which is very
off-putting. So many Dutch angles in this film.
Yeah, that's it, the Dutch angle. They just needed to be more with the... I could just watch reruns of them showing the vehicles, and that would have been me.
Yeah. Yeah, my biggest problem with this film is that the Thunderbirds are fantastic, and yet they're completely taken out of action about 15 minutes into the film. And they just happen to be fine by the end. But it's like, why would you ground the most interesting part of your movie for that long?
Yep.
So you can watch some snot-nosed kid try to get with Vanessa Hudgens.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because it's a kid's film.
What would happen if it was an emergency and you were still in the pool when Thunderbird 1 has to come out? Do you have a chance? Do you have any chance whatsoever? Because the siren doesn't go. Like, they're in Thunderbird 1 instantly, more or less.
Where does the water go?
I don't know where the water goes. They fill it up all the time.
It seems like a bad design, really.
It's an incredibly bad design, but I guess this is what billionaire astronauts do. Also, the thing of we want to rob the 10 biggest banks in the world is very Austin Powers.
Yeah, it is.
We need to go to the Bank of London.
But it all to me when I was watching it, it all felt like it was an intentional gag. Like it was silly on purpose.
I think you're giving it too much credit.
I don't think I am. I think it was silly on purpose.
Well, I'll move on to like how it was received, and we'll see if that rings true, Alex.
It was received well.
Okay, well, at the time, the movie was universally panned.
Yay.
Critics ripped it apart, and as predicted, they all fought amongst themselves to come up with the most tedious wooden acting jokes you could possibly think of.
Yeah.
Audiences weren't hot on it either. On what I believe to be a then British record budget of $57 million, it made an absolutely honking amount of $28 million worldwide. So if you do the usual movie maths and double the budget, you're looking at just shy of making a $100 million loss.
That is shocking.
Mm-hmm.
That's Mars Needs Moms level.
Yeah, and the actual original budget was actually higher, but Jonathan Frakes apparently used a technique which I would call half-assing it, where he would just always go with the first take and just say, yeah, we've got it, move on.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
I mean, I think it worked.
Who is this kid who plays the main lad?
Pretty much been in nothing else, apart from... Yeah, I think he was in Melancholia. I was looking at that, he was in Melancholia. That was it.
Oh, right.
Nice. Yeah, and the movie did so bad that Jonathan Frakes has never been given another theatrical movie since, which I think is pretty damning. As much as Alex liked it, that is damning.
I think it needs to be reassessed, this film.
I'm sure you want to know what Gerry and Sylvia Anderson thought of the movie.
I'm sure they loved it.
Gerry Anderson, who turned down £500,000 to attend the premiere, said...
How loaded is this?
I know. He said, it's the biggest load of crap I've ever seen in my entire life. Okay. It was disgraceful that a huge amount of money was spent with people who had no idea what Thunderbirds was about and what made it tick. Like, tell us what you really feel, Gerry.
He's like, I couldn't see the strings. You have to see the strings.
I couldn't see a single puppet. Sylvia Anderson, however, was much more appreciative of the movie. I felt that it'd been a wonderful Thunderbirds adventure. Sounds like Alex. And you, the fans, will, I'm sure, appreciate the sensitive adaptation and great tribute to the original creative team who inspired the movie all those years ago. Okay. It sounds like Alex and Sylvia are in the same boat here. A wonderful tribute. So, yeah, as we've sort of mentioned, the movie obviously has a lot of issues, but it's not all bad.
Nope.
As we've said, the Thunderbird vehicles look fantastic. And one of the only parts of the movie, other than the CGI, to get any praise was Lady Penelope and Parker.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think I probably agree with that.
Great performances.
He's done the voice perfect, hasn't he?
100%, yeah. And the reason I brought this up is that there was a rumour that all of their dialogue was rewritten by Richard Curtis.
Okay, well... Oh. The man knows dialogue.
And it's true.
Oh, really?
I listened to Jamie Anderson, Gerry Anderson's son's podcast, where he had an interview with Sophia Miles, who played Lady Penelope, and she basically said that Richard Curtis came in and tried to fix the movie, and the only bits he actually changed were Penelope and Parker's lines. It's like the only wholly British bit of the script, yeah. And it's probably the best bit.
That is weird, isn't it? Like, they don't even have him going to a boarding school in England. He's in Boston, isn't he, or something?
Massachusetts, yeah. I think that was the one thing for me, thing that let the film down, was it could be more British.
The one thing. Alex is 9 out of 10.
Because I think you did on that their bits were the best parts of the film. Their interactions and their lines, their quippy one-liners and things were kind of what kept the fun going because, you know, the parts with the kids, they were, you know, they were pretty, like, unoriginal. I really enjoyed the Gunge bit because it's like, there's nothing that says early noughties children.
Yeah, like a Nickelodeon
TV
Gunge.
Show and films.
What's his Gunge. Name? Dave Benson Phillips.
Dave Benson Phillips. But yeah, there was so much Gunge though. Like, it just kept going as well. Like, that sequence with the Gunge went on for, like, 5 minutes. It didn't, and it really did not need to. But I enjoyed it.
I have to ask the question. Did you watch this on your own, or did you watch it with your son?
I watched it on my own.
I was wondering what a kid thought of it.
Yeah, it would have been good.
Maybe the hood would be too scary for a child.
I don't think I'd have made it through the film with him.
Not enough Buzz Lightyear.
There'd be too many questions.
Too many questions.
No.
Where's Thunderbird 6?
It's like, what's happening? Who is that? What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I was often saying the same thing.
Exactly. I'm sure the main question would have been, why is Sir Ben Kingsley in this film? And I couldn't have answered.
He's not nearly as good as he was in Sexy Beast. Anyway, that's enough of the movie. Let's talk about the songs. So there are technically 3 original songs for this movie, of which we're only covering 1 in depth, but we would be doing this podcast name a disservice if we didn't briefly mention the non-busted songs. I should say that I put far too much effort into finding these other songs, seeing as neither of them on Spotify. So, 1, in Japan, the song Thunderbirds, (Your Voice, by J-pop band V6 was the official song, busted nowhere to be seen. What did you guys think of this one? It seemed up Alex's alley.
I did, I did kind of enjoy it. I was watching it thinking, God, this is like a Japanese version of 5.
It was, my God, I thought the stage is definitely from a 5 video, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's so 5. It's so 5.
100%.
And I think, because like 5 in my head were kind of like, they were like the less clean cut boy band. Their mantle was kind of taken on by The Wanted later in life. They weren't like Boyzone or Westlife. They didn't have, you know, like the chiseled, you know, there was a gruffness to them. And I saw these guys from Japan singing this, so I was like, there's a gruffness to these guys, which I'm enjoying right now. And so what I liked about the video that you sent was that it had subtitles, half the subtitles. So there's an occasional like line in English thrown into the song, but then the subtitles would just be presumably Japanese subtitles for a song that was being sung in Japanese. So maybe it was quite unintelligible in Japanese itself. I don't know.
I think it's the common way. But I mean, more K-pop, I suppose, now, where they mostly sing in Korean, but then just throw in some English in.
Yeah. I mean, mainly the English they're throwing in was like 5, 4. And
well,
so
they do them.
And Thunderbirds.
If you watch the video as well, that is not the Thunderbirds. In the end. It's a random space station.
Yeah, they're in actual space suits rather than like the sort of more like fighter pilot style in the movie.
Yeah. J-pop never took off.
That's a good point. We didn't get to talk about the fact they didn't have the hats in the movie, which was annoying.
Oh, the uniforms, really. Oh,
the proper uniforms, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's all about the hat.
It's a bit more sat. No, they need the sash.
Oh, yeah, the sash. The sash.
Like they're a Hindu out in Blackpool.
I did like the Lady Penelope car, though. That was kind of right as well, wasn't it? And her styling.
And it was real.
Yeah, and it was real, yeah. You could tell that. Apart from the part where it flew, obviously.
No, that
her styling
was real
as
well.
was really playing homage to the original character, so I liked that. But yeah, this goes back to V6, my new favourite band. The only thing I was a bit put off by this video was the crowd stood around the stage. It was a bit creepy because they were kind of all stood there doing nothing while they were like very animated on stage. So it was...
I was imagining the Lost in Translation directorial suggestions, which is just more intensity. I didn't realise I actually know a lot more songs by V6.
What?
they do a lot of anime opening themes.
Oh, right.
So they've done the opening theme for Inuyasha, they did an opening theme for One Piece, they've done an opening theme for Fairy Tail. So quite big. Well, some of them, Inuyasha, like, is an incredibly influential anime. But they obviously were a big thing on the anime scene, however big that of a scene that is. But yeah, I recognise the song, which is weird.
Sure.
Did not expect that coming into this.
Right, but we spent too much time on that already. So, number two. So, everywhere except Japan and the UK, the song was allegedly Take Me Away by American singer-songwriter Kaylee Peters.
Where is it?
Which simply doesn't exist on the internet.
Where is it?
To the point that I'm questioning if it exists whatsoever.
Where is it?
I found a song of hers that says the line Take Me Away, and it's actually from Herbie Fully Loaded. So we might cover that in the future. We can come back. We can circle back to this. But I don't think this song exists.
Did you check certain areas of the internet, D, as we figured out on our Brian Adams episode? These are where the videos are, D.
Right, I'll search it right now. Right. Pornhub. I mean, what? I mean.
Oh, you didn't even have to. You only have to type in the PD.
It's not looking likely based on these results. So yeah, so we're gonna have to just pretend we've all heard the song. I thought the inclusion of a kazoo was an inspired choice. What about you guys?
Yeah. I liked the cameo rap from Ben Kingsley.
I always thought he had it in him.
It was mostly just counting down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 over and over again.
Yeah, it was like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Sir Kingsley, done, and he dropped the mic.
Sir Kingsley, done. Oh, man, brilliant.
Anyway, 3. Let's talk about Thunderbirds I Go By Busted. So the song was written by the whole band, plus Tom Fletcher from McFly.
What?
And surprisingly, this is really going to blow you away, this fact. It was made for this movie.
Well, that is a stumper.
Yeah, and it talks about the Thunderbirds franchise as a whole. Frustratingly, annoyingly, perplexingly, pick one of these words, because the song doesn't feature in the movie until the credits, which is just a batshit decision. Anyway, what do you guys think of this song?
I don't know why I find it so simple but effective, where, you know what, if you just add some brass and strings to any song, it all of a sudden becomes much more powerful and effective, even if it's pop punk. I actually like it, even though it holds a place in sort of British, like nostalgic culture of sort of the very early 2000s. Because they only had like 2 albums, didn't they, Busted?
That is correct.
I was never that big on them, and I don't think I still am, but when I've played this song repeatedly over the past sort of week and a half, it's an absolute bop. Lyrically, I think it's a bit low bar sometimes, but I don't know, the chorus is just incredibly catchy. It's anthemic in a very pop punk way, and it's quite cringy, I think, when you watch the video sometimes, because they're doing all those things. The I'm classic shaking, sort of side eye look.
Shaking and... my head right now.
Yeah, but no, I do really like it. But I think it is made by slight, you know, the classic where it's this is for a movie, so we need to add strings and brass. But they do the classic early noughties, late 90s thing of at some point you have to be on a skyscraper.
That's how you elevate.
What about you, Alex?
Correct me if I'm wrong, D, because you will know this. Was this their last song, or did it come in between the albums?
This was their final song.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's I thought it was.
Well, until recently.
Yeah, up until they reformed. But it is the pinnacle. It's right up there with their best songs. But I've put here, as Denzel Washington said to Will Smith, be careful when you're on top, because that's when the devil comes. And none of them would hit this high again. They would never get, you know, we had Fight Star. We had Son of Dork and Ticket Out of Loserville, which we should never mention again. The only one who came close, of course, was Matt Willis' debut solo album, Don't Let It Go to Waste, which did have, admittedly, had a couple of bops, some of which were songs from films. Had to mention it.
Yeah.
Hey Kid was literally on John Tucker Must Die, so we should cover it.
I'm not watching John Tucker Must Die again.
Again.
Hey Kid was also in...
it was in two films, wasn't it?
Stormbreaker. Yeah. Stormbreaker at the same time.
We've got to cover it then. If it was a twofer.
Double that song from that movie.
So the episode is that song, literally that song, but not, you know, and two films. But yeah.
I'm not watching John Tucker Must Die.
You can do the notes for Stormbreaker then.
Fine, I'll watch John Tucker Must Die. Again.
So when I watched the video, I was like, I was loving every second of it, but also there was like a pain of like nostalgia, you know, like loss of youth there, because it's like, this is where it all changed for Busted and for us. Things would never get this good again. The video is everything. The hair, the forced fun. It's like, it's so forced, like the way that they're like shoving their faces in front of the camera. Charlie doesn't want to be there. You can say
Charlie never wanted to be there, did he? He's only recently realised, wait, actually, this is how I make bank.
Yeah,
yeah. He can already see the vocal lines of the call of Paul Holmniak or whatever that first fight.
We apologise for nothing.
He can already see that forming, Mercury Summer forming. We know too many Five Star songs going in the distance. And it's just a bit sad, but... I do love it. And yeah, so many jumps.
Busted jump.
So many jumps.
There's a lot of jumps. There's a lot of jumps. Their poor knees.
But so unnecessary and yet so wanted from the fans. And just so appreciated, the jumps.
Yeah. And they're still jumping now because I went to see them a couple of months ago. Still jumping.
Yeah.
Perform this song, still busted jumping.
I tell you what, there's a version of this on their compilation albums. Because they did like a greatest hits, didn't they? Which is not covers, but it's like duets with other artists.
Yes, that's right.
And they do this version with, I forget who it was with, but it was McFly. It's with McFly. So it's Busted and McFly doing Thunderbirds I Go.
Yep.
It's much, much better, at least if you listen to it.
Charlie was never in the Busted.
Actually, this one is Busted and McFly. But that album is actually really good. There's loads, it's obviously Busted songs, but like there's Busted and Simple Plan, Busted and Jonas Brothers, Neck Deep, Dashboard Confessional, Deaf Havana, Hanson. Bowling for Soup, Wheaters, great mashups.
Is this on Spotify? I'm hitting this.
Yeah, Greatest Hits 2.0.
Yeah, it is, yeah. I think he went to number 1.
Why don't more artists do this? So not just a Greatest Hits album, but re-releasing their Greatest Hits with other artists.
Should ask them all then.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Thunderbirds I Go version on that album is much, much better.
You say that, I mean, it's already great, so...
No, but it's still much, much better. You know, you can still improve greatness. You know, we can't Icarus it.
So the song was released as a double A-side with another Busted banger, 3AM.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. Great song. Yeah. And together they stormed to number 1 in the UK. I think it's sometimes hard to convey to younger listeners and people from abroad just how huge Busted were in the UK for a relatively short period of time. I checked, it was 22 months.
It's mad, isn't it?
Just shy of 2 years. They had 2 multi-platinum selling albums in the UK, 8 top 3 singles, of which 4 were number 1s, and this being the final one. And then nothing, because 2 months after this song comes out, Charlie leaves and Busted died.
Yep.
That was it.
It is weird. And it is weird that they are so British-centric. Like, they just never made it in America, even though the Jonas Brothers, their opening album, didn't have, like, 2 Busted songs on it.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous that they just never made it over there. Because you think, especially in the wake of... So like early 2000s, like probably the end of like the Warped Tour generation, as things like bands like All Time Low and You Me at Six are coming out, you feel like America would have taken them up a bit, you know, especially if you were on the poppy side of that.
Slides right in.
But they just never grasped.
They have such an American sound as well. That's the whole point of them, isn't it? I mean, there's not an English accent in sight or in earshot in this song, in any song they ever did.
But you think, because they were doing so well over here, the push would have just been easy. But I guess that's not helps. Like you say, this is only 22 months. There was probably a blueprint of how they would break America. There wasn't even a film or something like that. And there were TV shows like Busted.
Yeah, there was a Busted TV show.
But then, yeah, like you say, I think from an early point, Charlie was obviously like, this is not for me, lads.
Yeah. I would say that this song, it almost sounds like a proto Fight Star song as well. And probably better than any Fight Star song, if we're being completely honest.
Yeah. I mean, Charlie could have been in Twilight. Could have just been Edward Cullen.
Oh, right. It was a joke. I thought you meant like he was up for the role or something.
That's what you were saying, that he was up for the role of Edward
Cullen.
It
looks like Edward Cullen. Could have just sang the song himself.
So as well as that aforementioned number one spot in the charts, the song was a critical hit as well. And the song was nominated for the UK Record of the Year in 2004. I don't know if you remember when ITV used to do this.
No.
It was sort of done Eurovision style, where like each county in the UK would vote for the Song of the Year.
Oh, and really? God.
And then they'd go around the UK. Someone from Emmerdale saying, here's the votes from Yorkshire.
God,
that kind of thing.
Yeah, this is really flooding back to me now. I've completely forgotten about this.
So this is, I've got the full list, and this is my professional segue into this week's top five.
Nice. God, yes.
Nice.
Top five.
As soon as I saw this list, I knew I had to take the reins off Ben and make this week's top
five. Absolutely.
So I want your song guesses. I'll take the artist or the song name for the UK Record of the Year for 2004.
2004, God. It's just like even trying to place my mind in this time.
So we're just like literally trying to guess songs from 2004?
Yeah, well, I'll leave it open for now and I'll start giving clues later.
Are they British groups or artists?
British, American and European?
Westlife.
This is a bit late for them, isn't it? 2004?
No, this is right in the Westlife sphere.
So, Westlife, no. Oh. Someone from Westlife, yes.
Oh. Ronan Keating?
These are from Westlife, what? Ben.
Oh, yeah, no, sorry, I'm thinking about it. Yeah.
Lord.
Yeah, that was terrible, wasn't it?
Is it Brian McFadden? It's Brian McFadden.
Brian McFadden.
It's Brian McFadden, yeah.
Is it that
Brian
song McFadden that he had with that woman in the fields?
That's...
I'm actually just now going, I can't remember what this song is. I'm quickly checking it. I'll just say what it is. It was Real to Me by Brian McFadden.
Alex, in your wheelhouse?
No. Was that in the top five then? Or is that just one in the top 10?
It was not in the top five, no. That came in the 6 to 10 bracket.
Can you say, like, group, artist, male or female?
Okay, yeah. I'll start number 5. Female solo artist.
Okay.
Very 2004.
Natasha Bedingfield.
No. But Natasha Bedingfield is in the 6 to 10 bracket, these words.
Dido.
Not Dido.
Are we English?
I think she's English.
Or British, anyway.
Joss Stone.
No, not Joss Stone. I don't actually know what her heritage.
It's not that sort of Sandy Tom.
No. God, this is much more difficult than I thought it was going to be. She's a Georgian-British singer-songwriter.
Ooh.
Oh, Katie Melua.
It's Katie Melua.
Alex
Nine
knew
Alex. Million Bicycles.
No.
No, it was the other song before that.
Shall I say what it is?
No, let's get it. fuck.
It was their only other top 10. No. Obviously, it won't be 9 million bicycles the year later.
I literally can't stop singing anything but 9 million bicycles.
That's a fact.
It's a thing. Corin Bailey Ray song's just coming in. This is the closest thing to crazy I have ever been.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. That's what was fifth with 79 points. I'm not really sure. Out of
79
what?
Points, yeah. Alex furiously voting.
that was fifth. Next up is a British solo male singer.
Robin Williams.
Robbie Williams.
There has to be a Robbie, surely in every year of the time.
What was the biggest TV show in 2004?
Biggest TV show in 2004?
X Factor?
Before X Factor.
Oh, Popeye. Is it Will Young, Evergreen?
It's Will Young.
Is it Evergreen?
It's Will Young.
A bit of Evergreen. Is it Evergreen? Are we at this point?
No, so it's not Evergreen.
I think I better leave right now.
It's Leave Right Now.
What a video. That is a classic video.
And a great song.
Yeah, it is.
I actually heard it today on Smooth Radio.
Shout out Smooth, sponsor us.
Will Young, underappreciated.
Absolutely, yeah. Gareth Gates, overappreciated.
Definitely. I remember being isolated in primary school, being the only person voting for Will Young.
I voted
Is that
for
why
Will.
You were isolated?
I voted for Will as well, and I always will.
We were Darius heads, though. We were all Darius heads, really, we weren't Darius. We?
Speaking of which, colorblind Darius.
Not in this list, surprisingly.
Feeling yellow.
So in third place, it's a American singer-songwriter, solo female.
Alicia Keys.
One of the all-time greatest songs.
Christina.
Nope.
Britney.
Nope. Think more obscure.
More obscure?
She only basically had two songs.
Ashanti.
No, but the right first syllable.
A liar?
The right no. first syllable.
It's first letter. First letter, not first syllable.
Ashley Simpson.
Is it Amelie? What was her name?
Amelia?
It's not, as in one thing.
It's just one thing you get. That's what I was thinking.
What a song that is now. I'm going down memory lane.
Yeah, great song.
Aaliyah.
No. And I wonder if you guys know this song.
What's it? Give us the song, then we'll try and get the artist.
Oh, that was a clue.
Oh, wait, song? What do you say? I don't think you're going to get this song.
I said, and I wonder if you guys know this song.
All I can think of when you say, and I wonder, I'm thinking of Will Young. So, and I wonder.
There's a lot of singing in this. This is good. I'm enjoying this.
I wonder if you know this song. So that was the clue.
Fucking evergreen.
Is a song called This Song?
No.
Give me the clue again.
And I wonder if you know this song.
How it really feels. Yeah, call me left outside alone. Anastasia.
When it's cold out here, oh baby, you should know.
One of the all-time great songs.
She reminds me of the lady who's in, what's her name? She's in like Legally Blonde and Friends. You know, the Bend and Snap lady.
Oh, you mean Jennifer Coolidge?
Jennifer Coolidge.
Oh, right.
I could have said American Pie. Couldn't that would have been an easier guess.
Yes, this was mom. Yeah. Okay, let's jump up to second place.
Oh, come on.
British boy band.
One True Voice.
Not in the blue. Pop punk band, let's say.
Sacred Trust in Me.
Busted. Thunderbirds, I Go.
Well, Busted, Thunderbirds, I Go. Actually, not second. It's first.
Is it number one?
It's first.
It actually was.
It's number one. It won record of the year.
So McFly.
Big Thunderbirds
McFly must be second.
McFly was second. Five Colours in her
Five
hair.
Colours, yeah.
God, they'd just come out then.
Yep.
So they weren't long after.
No, they took over the mantle, didn't they?
So the other songs that were in the top 10 were Scissor Sisters, Laura, great song.
What a song.
Maroon 5, This Love,
this
great
love,
song.
Yeah, come on.
And Girls Aloud, Love Machine, great song.
Yeah, I mean, oh God, how were those not in high? how did Brian McFadden get into that list? You had no right.
Yeah, fucking hell.
That is the
Westlife.
One that sticks out here. Like,
I think it's just Westlife was so huge, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were aiming for the over 50s vote with that one.
yeah.
God. I enjoyed that.
No V6 in it then? No V6 in that top 10?
No, surprisingly.
Surprising. No Ben Kingsley rap either.
No Ben Kingsley rap.
Jesus Christ. I need to think of a name for this rap. Something.
Right. Well, you've got time. That can be your outro.
Shit. Oh, fuck's sake. I've set myself up here.
So now it's time to do movie or song. I'm just going to do it for you guys. It's the song.
Yes,
the song. It's the song, it's the song.
I mean, someone who vaguely enjoyed the film could not say that it's better than the song.
This song literally won Record of the Year in the UK. This movie did not win Movie of the Year. I listed like 10 better films than this. Plus Catwoman.
This film is definitely better than Catwoman. Definitely.
Yeah, it probably is better than Catwoman. So that brings it into another episode of That Song from That Movie. Let us know on one of our many social media platforms which one you prefer, the movie or the song. Ben, what is our social media handle?
At TSFTMpod.
Thank you. You can help this podcast by sharing this on Reddit. But Alex, what random subreddit should everyone share it on this week? And for the love of God, don't pick Kevin Spacey again.
Okay. Let me think. Anastasia.
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm sure people in that subreddit are used to hearing people sing her song in her style.
Yeah. I mean, there was that amazing video last year, I think it was last year, where like a group of women like accosted Anastasia in the street and started singing the song to her, but none of them could knew the words. Oh, so yeah, Anastasia was singing along, and they were all just kind of like...
It sounds a bit like Vic Reeves.
What was her other Vic song?
I'm Out of Love.
Set me free.
I like how it's all it'll have to be done in like sort of like CD cabaret.
I'm out of there. How are you?
So you can also help the podcast by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you listen to this podcast, signing up to our Patreon, buying our merch. And if it's the first time you ever listened to one of these episodes and you enjoyed it, why not press subscribe? All the links are in the show's notes. So all step now is to do some goodbyes. So I hope Ben's ready. And it's goodbye from myself. Goodbye.
My options
and goodbye
are so
from
slim.
Alex.
No. I'm not usually an emotional man, but sometimes even the toughest nut must crack.
And here we go. Oh. And goodbye from Ben.
MC Gandhi.
That's pretty fucking good. I wasn't expecting anything. It was like decent. That's pretty good. So goodbye, everybody. Bye.
For Swain.
Yeah. MC Gandhi.
4.
So he's, in my head now, looking, I've got his LL Blood Rain.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I was going through Blood Rain as well. I was going through Blood Rain.
Terrible.
LL Blood Rain.
The only one I had was MC Beast. That was the only closest I was going with.